Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, May 30th, 2013. This is the day we used to mark Memorial Day in this country. When I was growing up on the North Shore of Chicago, we'd always have a Memorial Day parade. We'd decorate our bikes and ride in the parade. And so I still think of May 30th as Memorial Day in this country. Of course, all of that changed when we went to the three-day holiday schedule, having many of America's major holidays on Mondays. 100 degrees is looming here for Tucson, Arizona. The word from the National Weather Service is we will hit 100 degrees officially for the first time in 2013 tomorrow. And oddly enough, since 1895, when records began being kept at the for the Tucson area, we have never hit 100 degrees on May 31st. But it looks like tomorrow will be the first day, as they say, we break the ice tomorrow. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday, noon to 1, right here on AM 1030 KVOI. It is Tucson's intelligent voice. It's also a station with very good reach. We go all the way to Phoenix, all the way to the east, almost to the New Mexico border, down south, and, of course, to the west, to Ajo and beyond. So KVOI, a great signal to listen to all the news talk here. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. You can hear our programs anytime, anywhere by checking out buckmastershow.com. We also post the show to the tucsonsentinel.com and tucsoncitizen.com as well. Also, homepage links on the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun at gvnews.com and the homepage of Blog for Arizona. That's blogforarizona.com. Today's show, we spend the first half hour with Paul Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, with me in studio right now. And we'll get an update at 12:30 from the state capitol with Linda Valdez, State Senator. She is the Assistant Minority Leader in the Senate. She represents District 2 here in Tucson. Then community activist John Kromko. I haven't talked with John in a while. When I did the TV show, he was a regular. Seems like we talked to John all the time about different issues that he was very passionate about. Well, his latest project is an effort to get rid of red light cameras in the city of Tucson. If you have a comment or question, the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Paul Cunningham is with us. Councilman, how are you?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's segue into that. We're going to hear from Mr. Kromko saying that these red light cameras should go. It's interesting that the county says that the study on the speed cameras in place in the county really has cut down on citations by more than 30%. How do you feel about the red light cameras in the city?
Well, there's some research that shows that the red light cameras do decrease the incidence of accidents and big collisions in major intersections. The other side of the coin is that it just appeared convenient that some of the intersections we chose were intersections that had the line of elongation, or the setback from the crosswalk is kind of a no man's land. So there's some of them where it's as much as 60 feet. So if you're traveling at even 20, 15 miles, if you're out traveling at 15 miles an hour trying to make a left turn,
it's
after
horrible.
A yellow light, you're going to get dinged. There's nothing you can do short of screeching on your brakes and maybe even causing a rear end. So those were some of the flaws in it. Mm-hmm. I was a big critic of that flaw specifically, mm-hmm. having some personal experience with getting some of those red light tickets. But I think some of those kinks have been worked out. We have a 0.4 of a second leeway. So you'd have to be traveling less than, I think mathematically, it's 8 miles an hour on your left turn in order to be hit with an unfair ticket after an amber light. So at this point, I think some of those kinks have worked out. But when I first got into office, we had complaint after complaint after complaint. The other side of the coin with me in Ward 2 was that four of them were in Ward 2. And so it was just something that I didn't think we were meeting all of our goals to the community in that. And I think we've come up with a package that may improve. Again, if a study shows that it's really not affecting traffic and things, then I'd be definitely open to discontinuing that contract. But moreover, it does give us the opportunity to have less police officers working traffic and working other criminal calls. So I think there's ways to win all the way around.
When does the contract expire? Do you have any idea?
This version of the contract expires this summer, and then it's up for a renewal. And then they have another 2 years to option into that renewal.
It's a year-to-year contract?
It's a five-year contract that's renewable each year.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, from personal experience, after getting caught in one of those red light camera intersections, I try to avoid those wherever I can. I think a lot of people do.
And as a result, we have a lower traffic load in those in those camera intersections, and as a result, we have a lower traffic accident. Rate. But again, holistically, if they're not changing the way people drive, then we need to make some changes.
Okay, big story of the week, the El Rio golf course no longer worth pursuing. That's the opinion of you and your colleagues concerning Grand Canyon University. I don't know if you heard my interview yesterday with the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Ramon Valadez. He said he would be open to talking with the people from Grand Canyon about placing Grand Canyon University somewhere on county land. But I guess as far as the city, this thing is, it's not going to happen in the city. Is that your understanding?
Well, I think that GCU has a future here in Tucson. I think that the discussion about the El Rio location specifically is over. As this discussion moves to other locations, any possible location. If it's going to be any public land at all, the transparency is probably the number one thing in the process. And if we can do that, I think we can come up with a winner.
This reinforces for those that are critics of the city saying that we just can't get anything done, that the city doesn't have its act together. What do you say to those people?
Well, I say take a look at Ward 2 and take a look at the road work that we're getting done out there. We haven't laid off any cops. We were able to make sure to avoid layoffs and also a big exodus of workers for the 911 workers this year. I think that we're getting a number of things right if you look at downtown that's kind of coming together. You know, you're going to have wins and losses. You're going to have lulls. You're going to have places where things get done and sometimes things, you know, run awry. Every council, every ward office, and I can't speak for my colleagues completely, but every ward office has an albatross issue that they just can't get out of, or you're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. Those things come up all the time. I think this was one of them for Ward 1. And, you know, at the end of the day, you go back to the drawing board and try to come up with something that's going to work for the citizens of Tucson.
Paul Cunningham is with us. Paul represents Ward 2 on the Tucson City Council. He is a Democrat, and we're talking about the El Rio situation. Okay, so the Grand Canyon won't go on the El Rio area, but what happens now to the golf course?
Well, I think there's a number of different things that are happening with Tucson golf in general. Number one is people need to understand is that Silver Bell and the Randolph Complex have always made money. Many courses in the last decade have begun to lose money, private and public. Some courses are subsidized by hotel operations. Some are subsidized by private benefactors. Some are subsidized by exclusive membership. But the idea of a golf course turning a profit, it became a lower and lower reality throughout the past decade.
Fewer people are playing golf. That's the reality, right?
Well, actually, play nationally is down.
Okay.
Less people are playing golf.
Less people play.
And play nationally was down. But at the same time, three of our courses, Silver Bell and both courses on the Randolph course, so Del Yurick and Randolph North, have always made money. And I'll say right now, speaking from personal experience, try to get out to Del Yurick. That course looks great this summer. It's going to be a great deal. I just want to put a big plug in. I've been a big advocate of public golf. But on the east side, Fred Enck uses a little less water than some of those courses because it is a natural desert course. And it had a little trouble breaking even the last few years, but it looks like it's going to be within $4,000 or $5,000 of breaking even this year. So to me, that's an investment worth protecting. It's something that we got to see if we can either run it more efficiently as a municipality or if we put it out to RFP and have a private company do it. Either way is good with me, but it's something that's an asset. El Rio does lose money every single year. There's some historical and some cultural ramifications there. There's been discussion where we're beholden, and we have a covenant with the El Conquistadors who work on the First Tee program, which is an amazing program for youth that I don't ever want to see go by the wayside. So closing El Rio comes with a lot of different problems as well, and I don't think that's something that should be on the table right away. If we need to at some point reduce it to an executive-style 12-hole or 9-hole golf course but maintain that First Tee program, I'm open to that. But just summarily, closing golf was the big thing. I think Ward 1 did a great job in basically calling out the city bureaucracy and saying, look, you can't take a cash loss in golf every year and not claim it as a cash loss. And she did a great job at that. But I do have to hand it to Mr. Gray and Mike Hayes, as they've righted the ship this year and done a good job in ensuring that golf is going to turn a profit as a whole this year anyway, but even more so from a cash position, cash management position. Four of our five courses will be solvent.
Do you play golf yourself?
I do. Well, I don't know if you could call it playing. I actually hit a ball and sometimes get it on green stuff, but most of the time it's in water, sand, or out of bounds.
All right. Paul Cunningham is with us. If you would like to now join in the conversation, 790-2040, 790-2040 for questions or comments for the Ward 2 Councilman Paul Cunningham. We'll be right back after we hear from the fine lineup of the Buckmaster Show sponsors.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I think we have the best bumper music of any of the local talk shows, and I give credit to that to our lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt. Councilman Paul Cunningham is with me in the KVOI studios. If you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. 790-2040. I've been talking about Grand Canyon College in El Rio. Boy, I was looking at that agenda yesterday, Councilman. You guys are really busy yesterday. You had gun legislation, civil union legislation, West Side development. On the guns, there were two new firearm regulations, one of them very close to your heart. You kind of led the campaign to pass. Well, you tell us what it was all about.
Well, we had a young lady, Jenna Ayup, who was a single mom here in Tucson, and her boyfriend, all the facts of the case are some are disputed, some aren't disputed. What we know is he spent the afternoon at a couple bars, drank a few beers. Whether he was intoxicated or not is up to anybody's interpretation. Came home and was changing the pistol grips on his gun, according to the police report, and the gun went off and she was shot and killed. And there's some other underlying things out there that we don't know about. But what we do know is that it probably wasn't a good idea to change the pistol grips on your gun while after drinking with your three-year-old kid in the room that could possibly distract you. I can say that's probably not a good move. And a lot of people were saying, well, maybe criminal negligence, maybe negligent homicide. And I can't really speak to the specifics of the case. What I do know is the police got on scene and did an amazing job processing the scene, doing ballistics, doing all these things. And they didn't get a breathalyzer because no kind of procedure or law, anything kind of touching on BAC and gun use exists. And we have all these laws with gun use and with alcoholism and driving and all these other things. I thought, you know, I don't think anybody's going to object to the idea that saying firearms and drinking don't necessarily mix all the time. So we put together some legislation that isn't about gun control or any of that. It's really just about trying to be responsible gun owners and helping police do their due diligence when a case like this comes up. And that says, hey, we'll put the blood alcohol content in there so that if this type of thing happens that isn't self-defense, it's a criminal negligence situation, then you're subject to a breathalyzer, and if you refuse, then the police can get a warrant. And we made that part of the law. We did that in Tucson. It's really it'd be a lot more helpful if it was a state law, and we're going to continue that fight up north in Phoenix next session. I think there's a lot of things in the language, but Tucson passed a memorial urging for the pass of the state law, and as well as we passed a kind of a generalized version here in Tucson of what we could that wasn't in conflict with state law. So I'm proud of the law, but I really think it comes down to the question that, you know, Jenna Ayup was a pretty neat lady. She put herself through beauty school. She worked full time. She raised a great kid, and you know, she was one of my constituents and a old friend of the family. And the bottom line is that if I'm not willing to serve her as a constituent, then what am I doing here? And so when her family came to me and we talked about it, this was one of the things we wanted to do, and I'm proud of it.
So this will empower police to subject a person who negligently discharges a gun and appears intoxicated to either a blood or breath test. And if they do fail those tests, what is the penalty?
Well, it just makes it a lot easier for the prosecutor to issue a petition for negligent homicide.
Okay, and the other gun legislation had to do with requiring gun owners to report lost or stolen firearms to the police department within 24 hours. Failure to do so could result in a $100 fine.
Right. This law is basically set up so when you have people who are, you know, we have a lot of independent gun sales in Tucson that are fine. We have a lot of folks that are gun dealers that do very above board things. This is to address the issues when you've got somebody who is giving a gun to somebody who probably shouldn't have one, and we can, and then reporting it stolen and saying, well, they, you know, where they sold the gun, but then they didn't report it stolen. And so this is just to help law enforcement do their job.
How are we doing financially when you compare our city to other places?
Well, when you look at Tucson as a whole, financially, our bond rating's high. I'm worried about our budget next year, quite honestly. I'm very worried about this raise package we passed. I'm worried about that. But I will say this. There are a number of cities throughout the country, and several in California
at least 10.
I can think of, that are on the verge of bankruptcy, that have done layoffs, that have reduced police response times, that have pension liabilities that are 10 times worse than ours. For our pension liability, especially in public safety, the worst is actually over. We're actually around the corner where we're flatlining finally. We went through it a little earlier than some of the other cities in Arizona had to do. I think long-term sustainability, we've already phased in a restructure for TSRS. We did that this year. That's fair to our younger employees, but we'll make that retirement system solid. So long term, there are some things we're doing very well. I just wish we'd be a little more careful in the next 2 years, because we've got these hiccups coming up, including the streetcar, including the including a big pension. We have about 185 police officers that are participating in the drop that are going to leave at once. So we have these things that it'll be rough to pay for this this package. We probably should have waited a year or two. But, you know, we'll see kind of how it shapes up. That's why it's on the agenda in October to discuss our cash position for the short term. And then we can see if we can afford this package.
You were on the show while I was on vacation. We had a special one-hour. Shelley Fishman was hosting that about downtown. Downtown continues to impress, doesn't it?
Well, it's one of those things where it's kind of coming. It's starting to come. It's not just starting to come together anymore. It has come together.
It's really gelling.
Yeah, where we've got, you know, one South Church, the old Unisource building. I'd love to see us get somebody in the old FBI space. I think that would be and that's perfect for a contractor, especially a defense contractor who has some security measures needed in. It's already built in the building where the FBI was. So I'd love to see that happen.
Where is that located?
That's right there at Church and Congress.
Okay.
Tallest building in Tucson. And then the other one, it's where Chase is on the ground floor now. But everybody always calls it the old Unisource. The other one that I think is probably what we're missing is we're still missing a hotel. We're still missing a good, solid, whether it be a boutique or whether it be a – we're not going to get a five-star, full-service franchise convention hotel. But if we can get a – I'd love to have a good – another 300 bed spaces of hotel downtown that is bookable, that is a national, that is tied to a national booking system. They can be locally owned, but a nationally booking system. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, if I could do a couple tweaks to the Viscount, pick it up and put it downtown, man, that would be beautiful. So that's kind of what we're looking at for that.
And the TCC issue still should be resolved or has to be resolved?
Well, short term, I think there is a package. My representative is a young man who has played in every arena in the world. His name's Joseph Blair. He's my representative on the Tucson Convention Center Commission, and he's done an outstanding job basically giving me the ins and outs of some of the issues we've had, and he's definitely represented us well, and he and a few others, along with a young man named Andy Squires, who has worked for the city for a long time, are putting up some strategies so we can try to make that place so it's not a drain on the taxpayer.
Has soccer brought some money into the town?
Soccer's doing very well. We didn't get a win last night against the Houston Dynamo. But, you know, 2 years ago we sat in two and a half years now, we sat at a table in my office and we said, hey, what can we do to utilize High Corbett? And that started FC Tucson. It just started this thing rolling. And all of a sudden, soccer has just become something that Tucson has latched onto. And it can be something that's going to be really neat, that's a part of us, and we should definitely want it, and we should definitely believe in it, because it's special to Tucson, and it's special to what Greg Foster and Rick Shantz have done. Coach Shantz is just such an amazing person, and we couldn't have done better with his partners, Jonathan Perlman, Chris Keeney, and Greg Foster.
Okay, Paul Cunningham, Tucson City Councilman, with us on the Buckmaster Show. I hope you have a great day and try to stay cool this weekend. We've been lucky. We haven't hit 100 yet, but it will come tomorrow. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Thanks. Happy holidays.
Thanks a lot. SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Tornado watches and warnings have been posted for parts of Oklahoma, and forecasters say nasty weather is also possible today over parts of Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri. The Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, warns there is a moderate risk of severe weather over much of eastern and central Oklahoma. Storms will also be possible in the mid-Mississippi Valley into the upper Midwest later today and tonight. Syrian President Assad vows to respond to any future Israeli strike on his country. Israel has carried out several airstrikes in Syria in recent months that are believed to have destroyed weapons shipments that were headed for Hezbollah. On Wall Street, stocks higher. The Dow is up about 59 points right now. The NASDAQ Composite Index ahead 30. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon, 790-2040, 790-2040. Do you think that Grand Canyon University College is worth pursuing by the city and now perhaps the county getting involved? Love to hear from you, 790-2040, if you have an opinion on that, or should we just let it go and not support it? If you'd like to weigh in, that would be great. Love to hear from you. I do want to tell you that every year about this time, the cat adoption room at Pima Animal Care Center is flooded with kittens, leaving lots of kitties in need of new homes. To honor National Adopt-A-Shelter Cat Month and to make sure our feline friends have a chance to bring some purr and pizzazz to more local households, Pima Animal Care Center is waiving adoption fees for all adult cats for the entire month of June. That would be a great way to help out the shelter population. I have used the Pima Animal Care Center, and I highly recommend it. So, give them a try out there in the Adopt a Shelter Cat Month. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. I think we have David is up first. David, go ahead. Should we pursue Grand Canyon? Go ahead, David.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's a great economic development for the city. It's infill, which is what we want to do, rather than sprawl, which is destroying our Sonoran Desert. And I totally sympathize with the people who don't want it enough. Golf course, they want to have that as a park, fine. There should be other areas the city owns land that can piece together 100 acres where they can sell to the university for a campus that would bring jobs and generate tax revenue and a clean development. It's not like the Rosemont Mine that will cut the Santa Rita Mountains, that will provide more jobs than the Rosemont Mine. And we need to be stopping sprawl, redirecting development back into the inner city, because Tucson is stagnating, and then you have booming development in Marana, where you don't want it, where you go north of Tangerine Road, they just scraped all the desert and put in houses and strip malls there. It's horrible. And then the city, like the Sam's Club, wanted to put a store, and I think in the Harkins area, in that big Harkins complex, and the city wouldn't allow them to do it. I mean, good grief, that would bring jobs and tax revenue into the city, and it'd be infill. That's what we need to do, is encourage infill type kind of development to revitalize the inner city rather than spreading out all over the place.
I agree, David. I definitely think that Grand Canyon University is worth pursuing. The golf course wasn't the right place, but certainly we have this land available, as you say, infill land. And as we said on the program yesterday, at least Ramon Valadez was with us, and he said that if someone from Grand Canyon would like to give the county a call, they would be more than willing to talk to them. So I think it's worth pursuing. Let's go now to Steve, who has an opinion on Grand Canyon University. Go ahead, Steve.
Hello. Just as I was saying, I mean, any way to add new jobs and new tax dollars to the city of Tucson is a plus, but we always see that the city doesn't want to do this, and it's kind of confusing to me. And the people who are blocking it might want to see in the future that it might end up being a shopping center or an apartment complex sitting on there. You know, they want to block this right now, which could be very good for their neighborhoods, but they'll end up getting something over there later on, one way or another. And we need to get rid of stuff that does not make profit for the city, like that golf course.
Okay, Steve, we appreciate your call. 790-2040, 790-2040. We're talking about, should we pursue Grand Canyon University? Should we give them the welcome mat here in Tucson? If it's not going to work at El Rio, what about some other location? Let's go now to Matthew. Matthew has a comment about Grand Canyon. Go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you, Bill. Well, you know, I did take two classes online when I was in the military, and several of my soldiers took classes with Grand Canyon University. They were very, very helpful to us at all times. You know, I believe Tucson, you know, for whatever reason, we need to try and find a committee. I would encourage Mike Varney at the chamber, you know, to work with Trio or work with the county, with Ramon Valadez, the rest of the super. There should be a committee formed right now of citizens from different parts of the city and the county. We need to, you know, say, hey, we want Grand Canyon University somewhere in our community if they want to come, and they need to start looking for a place that everybody can be amenable. But we've got to start showing we got to take a bad situation and turn it around. I mean, because this just doesn't affect today. This affects, as Mike said, businesses are looking at us. And yes, there was a community issue. Maybe somewhere we went the politically constituents, the neighborhood, you know, it went wrong. But we need to turn it around. And I would encourage Miguel Ortega. I would encourage Sal Baldenegro, all of them, to be the people and say, hey, you know, it didn't work here, but that doesn't mean we don't want Grand Canyon University in our community. I think they should be taking the lead on it.
I think you're right. I like what you say. They need to be contacted, and maybe this is going on behind the scenes. The Grand Canyon needs to be contacted and say, hey, the welcome mat is out here in Tucson, Arizona. We would welcome you. We're a highly educated community. We're a university-based community. We believe in higher education. Matthew, thank you for your call. Jim Kelly, I'm going to work you in real quickly, and then we're going to go to Senator Linda Lopez. Jim Kelly with us on the Buck Master Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, of course I support Grand Canyon University, and we've got lots of land here on the south side. I was very pleased to hear that Ramon Valadez wants to pursue that. Because, again, we've got lots of land. We got the Golden Triangle out by Irvington, a lot of land. So I will tell you this. I think the biggest objection that Sal Baldenegro and Miguel Ortega have to Grand Canyon is I'm afraid that they don't want the influx of 7,000 conservatives in one spot.
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, Jim, the welcome mat is out to Grand Canyon. I certainly support them coming here. Thank you, Jim, for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Jim Kelly with us. We're going to now segue up to the state capitol. State Senator Linda Lopez is with us, the Assistant Minority Leader, District 2 in Tucson Democrat. Linda, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. I'm on my way back to Tucson right now.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, was this basically nothing accomplished this week for the Senate anyway, right?
We did absolutely nothing at all. Today on the floor of the Senate, we did have the resolution, supporting our relationship between Arizona and Azerbaijan. But other than that, that was the biggest thing that happened in the Senate this week. Now, they did have Committee of the Whole action in the House today. I think they had one or two bills on their agenda, but other than that, there has really been very little, if anything, going on. I know that there are discussions going on with the Speaker of the House about, what his Republican members want to see in the budget that the Senate sent to them. So it's yet to be seen what they're going to do, if they're going to strip any of the amendments that we put on over in the Senate, or how that's going to proceed.
Well,
want a Republican budget.
I was going to say, Linda, this is just like waiting for the other shoe to drop with the House Speaker, Andy Tobin, trying to figure out what's going to go on here. I think it's kind of at least from what I've been reading, you have certainly a much better insight to this, that they have the votes in the House to pass the governor's Medicaid expansion. Is that your understanding?
Yes, Yes, there are 8 solid votes, possibly 9 on the Republican side, and all Democrats are on board. So they have the votes to do it. The Speaker is really softening in his position about the expansion. He was really taking a hard line before, but he's pulled back from that. Now he's trying to gauge what his other Republican members want and whether or not he can get their support on the budget. My personal opinion, what I think is, there's no way that most of those Republicans who don't support the Medicaid expansion are going to support the rest of the budget with the expansion.
Hey, Linda, I think the big story out of this legislative session, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, is the bipartisanship shown in the Senate so far, and I guess in the House too. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It was really quite a phenomenal piece of action that happened. It was a lot of work done behind the scenes to make it occur. But again, in the Senate, I think there was a realization that because of the president's stance on this, that was what was going to have to happen. He was adamant in his opposition to the expansion. The Speaker, on the other hand, has not been that adamant. He wanted to do a referral. He backed off on that. Now he's saying he wants some things like, you know, accountability and transparency, put out some ideas. Whether or not the governor's going to be behind that is another question. The governor, you know, she may support some things that the Speaker wants, but whether or not he's going to support all of that is a question that's unanswered at this point.
So we have, in effect, a delaying action that we really don't know when this session is going to wrap up. Is that correct?
You're exactly right. We don't. I'm thinking if by chance, you know, the Speaker can come to some resolution of, you know, what his members want and what he wants, perhaps they can do the budget next week. The question that then remains unanswered is, will we adjourn sine die upon passage of that budget, or are we going to stay in session a while longer to continue some of the bills that are in the pipeline that need to move forward? That are pretty important. We'll just have to see.
Thanks for the update, Senator Linda Lopez, on her way back to Tucson after what certainly could be characterized as a very unproductive week up at the Capitol. We will be thanks, Linda. We'll be back talking about red light cameras with community activist John Kromko. John is up next on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at WestinLaPalomaResort.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony. Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon as we push toward 12:51. John Kromko, community activist, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. John is leading a petition drive to eliminate the red light cameras in Tucson. John, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. I'm pretty tired.
Yeah, I guess you've been pretty busy. Where are you right now as far as this effort to... how many do you need? 12,400?
Yeah, 12,400. We went over 7,000 the other day. I haven't done a more recent count, but we're getting, I don't know, maybe 400 a day now are coming in. So we're really doing well, and this is all volunteers. We don't have money for any paid circulators, so people are volunteering, and we're doing really well.
And this would be put on the ballot for November. Your deadline, I guess, is July 5th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, why are you doing this, John?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Mr. Buckmaster, because I'm not doing it because I'm against safety or anything like that. This is not about safety at all. This is a scam. This company, and by the way, I sent you a video in the email you can look at. This company goes all around the country, and what they do, they lobby the legislature and the supervisors and the city council to change the rules. It used to be if you crossed the crosswalk, you were counted as in the intersection. And that was well understood, and it's well marked, and everybody knew it. And this company lobbied to change the intersection starting point out to the middle. It's a place where you can't even tell where the intersection starts. And they do that deliberately because this whole thing, it's not about the speed cameras. Those are a little side thing, but they make almost all their money from people turning left after the light turns red. And what they do is shorten the red light or the yellow light, and so you're stuck out there. You're not in the intersection, and the second and third cars to turn left get a ticket almost automatically. And a lot of these tickets are given for being a hundredth of a second late reaching that line. And that's why people are mad. We're working down in front of the city courthouse courtroom today, and I think on Monday on Tuesday, which is a busy day because right after a holiday, we got 455 signatures just in that spot because people are coming in there and they're really mad because it's totally unfair.
Yeah. Do you think it's a scam then, John?
Sure. They wouldn't do it. This company spends millions of dollars in lobbying to get the law changed, and our city council just sold us out is what happened. The company gets to put on training sessions for the judges, training sessions. See, if they had left it, the legislature, and by the way, when I was in the legislature years ago, they were there trying to get it changed. And why, you know, the entrance to the intersection. And you know, I said, why do you want to do that? It's working just fine the way it is. And it's fair, and everybody understands it. And they never explained why they wanted to do it. But once the legislature changed that, then they go to work, see, because 80% or a little more than 80% of their revenue comes from people making a left turn. And that's what it's all about.
So this is not about the speed cameras. You have no beef with the speed cameras.
Boy, I sure don't. Those speed cameras are window dressing. So a lot of people say, oh, people should control their speed. They don't make their revenue from the speed cameras. People know where those cameras are, and they slow down, speed up right after it. But you know, that works just fine. It's the red light cameras turning left on the red light. That's what it's. That's all automatically. You don't have any choice. If you're turning left and that car in front of you doesn't go at top speed, you'll never make it to the intersection before the light turns red.
Well, I know I certainly try to avoid those intersections, and many people do. John, we had a question from a listener who did not want to go on the air. Is it true? The question is it true that those tickets are not official because they are not served to you in person? They're served through the mail.
Well, there's a lot of talk about that, and that's correct, actually. But they're getting more aggressive. I got a ticket. A guy came to my house about 9 o'clock at night. You know,
what?
Somebody knocked on the door. I thought it was a friend. You know, and I opened the door and they served. So we have a lot of horror stories how people get served. It's true. If you don't get served, if you can avoid service, you never really have to pay. But they're getting more aggressive and more tricky in how they serve you.
Now, how would this work? So this would go to the ballot in November, and if the Tucson voters say they do not want the red light cameras, that would be it. Is that correct?
What would happen. More and more cities and towns around the country are dropping these cameras when they see what the deal is. Actually, it might be easier than that. If we get enough signatures, this contract is up for renewal in August or September, and I have the feeling the city council wouldn't renew it if we had enough signatures to put this on the ballot, because they would have to be on the ballot, some city council members, at the same time this question is on the ballot, and they wouldn't want to do that. So that's the way it would work.
Well, people are very passionate about this, and you know, just from my own gut feeling, is that if this were to go to the ballot, I would think it would have a very good chance of passage.
I think so. A majority of, you know, it's close. A lot of people think the cameras are good, but that's because they don't understand it. If they heard what I just told you, and there's several videos on the internet, a great one from Florida, how they deliberately cut the yellow light time down to nothing so everybody would get a ticket. If people would understand it, and they would come to understand it if it were on the ballot, because there would be a lot of discussion of it. So I think you're right. I think I wouldn't be doing this, actually, if I didn't think it would pass if it got on the ballot. But like I told you, I also think that the city council would simply not renew the contract, I bet.
Where are you going to be next with your signature campaign?
Well, we work places every day. Like I say, this is all volunteers, so we can't tell anybody to be in it. We're working the city court and the justice court, the places where people come to.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they
get
come
ripped off.
They, yeah.
So they're very angry people, there's a lot more passion on our side than there is on the other side. So I think we'd have a pretty good shot if it were to go on the ballot.
John, we're out of time. You can get more at, is it TucsonTrafficJustice.com? Is that your website?
TucsonTrafficJustice.com. People can get a petition, contribute, or see the latest news.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
John Kromko, former Arizona state legislator, with us on the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City. Oh boy, experience the solitude of the Gila National Wilderness. You know, it was the nation's first wilderness area. It's only 3.5 hours east of Tucson to Silver City. It's going to be a great weekend over there. Elevation over 1 mile high. Many of really nice places to stay, including Pinos Altos Cabins and Silver City KOA. You can get more information at southwestnewmexico.org. Our thanks to Culligan Water. The folks at Culligan Water provide us with bottled water on the Buckmaster Show. Really, the Culligan Water. Why is it so good? Well, I think it just simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show, 3 to 5, here on KVOI. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. And we'll have our Friday Focus interview, Don Jorgensen, the chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, our Friday Focus interview, of course, the Roundtable, and Weekend Watch. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.